Morning, everyone, and welcome back to Leading Off. My name is Brennan Toomer, and I've returned from a long weekend in the Galapagos Islands, and you can find me on Twitter at TooMuchToomer. Listen, before we get going, I think it's time for a little pep talk. We're in the dog days, boys and girls, and I can feel the fatigue setting in. It's late in the fantasy baseball season, it's summer, it's hot, you're tired, you've been on vacation, you have a weekend trip coming up, but there's still a lot going on and a lot you need to be paying attention to. If you have a chance to win your league this year, do not fall off. Keep checking those lineups every day, keep listening to this podcast, keep asking Dan and I questions on Twitter. Don't fall off. You can do this. It's the most important time of the year for those of us still playing in the fantasy playoffs, and it's tough not to get distracted by summer fun, football, etc. But okay, now that we're all a little more refocused, the format for today's show will be me going over my three biggest takeaways, which are Ronald Acuna joining the holy trio of fantasy baseball players, a couple Dodgers rookies impressing, and Rafael Devers putting an exclamation mark on his breakout campaign. Then I have two segments to introduce, one which will hit you with some news, and one which will be covering some hot hitters. But we start with Acuna, who isn't mentioned with the fantasy holy trio of Mike Trout, Christian Yelich, and Cody Bellinger, but he has been downright amazing this season. Entering the year, there was a lot of talk surrounding how much Acuna would run as he shifted to the cleanup spot in the Braves' order. Well, they eventually moved him back to leadoff, and he leads the National League with 28 steals. Oh, and he homered last night, which gives him 34 on the season to go along with a 299 average and a 921 OPS. He's going to be an easy first-round pick next year. Also note that in that Braves win over the Mets, it was Mark Melancon who got the save, and he should keep getting chances for now. Pick him up if he's still available. So, a couple Dodgers rookies to discuss, both of which I've been high on. Dustin May had a start moved up a day so that Clayton Kershaw could receive an extra day off. May pitched last night versus the Marlins, limiting Miami to one run on three hits over 5 2/3 innings. May struck out five and picked up his first career win with the outing, but once again failed to reach the minimum six innings for a quality start. Look, streaming young pitchers is more about the ratios and strikeout upside than it is about getting quality starts. You should know that going into May's outings, and you should still start him this weekend versus the Braves. The other Dodgers rookie who continues to play out of his mind is catcher Will Smith, who hit two homers last night, giving him three over his last two games. He now has eight on the year to go along with a 324 average. We've been saying this for a couple weeks now that Smith is a must-own catcher, and that's still the case. However, he's now slowly becoming a legitimate top five option. The final takeaway is Rafael Devers becoming the first player in the modern era, so since 1900, to have a six-hit, four-double game in Boston's win over Cleveland. Still just 22 years old, Devers is now batting 325 with a 947 OPS, 24 homers, and 93 RBIs. Just like we've been saying all season long, this has been a true breakout. Devers was a top prospect, he has adjusted following a down season last year, and all the StatCast data backs up what he has done. He should be one of the earliest drafted players in startup dynasty leagues next spring. And sticking with the theme of mentioning who got the save here, note that it was Andrew Kashner picking up his first with the Red Sox. Boston has been mixing and matching a bit all year, so I wouldn't read into this too much, but if you're desperate for saves, I guess a Kashner ad couldn't hurt. Okay, so now that we're doing the show three times per week, we are slowly going to be morphing from a here's what happened last night recap to here are some trends, things to keep your eye on. We'll still discuss the major takeaways each night, but I feel it'll be more beneficial for you guys to discuss anything noteworthy that's going on. So that takes us to a new segment called here's some info for you that may or may not be useful. And yes, I'm aware I'm much better at coming up with segment names than Dan ever was. Lorenzo Cain went 0 for 5 in the Brewers' loss to the Twins and is now batting just .248 this season. This is his worst offensive performance in quite some time, and the Brewers might need to move him out of the leadoff spot soon, which would obviously hurt his fantasy value. He might even need to be benched for your team if you're in the fantasy playoffs and have better option. Guys like Mike Tauchman right now. In that Milwaukee loss, Christian Yelich finally returned to the lineup after missing a week with a nagging back issue. He doubled. Fantasy owners rejoice. Archie Bradley of the Diamondbacks didn't pitch last night, but he has been on an absolute tear lately, striking out 21 over his last 17 and a third innings pitched. He hasn't allowed a run since June 22nd and looks like Arizona's locked-in closer the rest of the way. Jack Flaherty was fantastic again last night and now owns a 0.79 ERA over his last 45 and a third innings. Giddy up. Blue Jays manager Charlie Montoyo said Monday that Danny Jansen and Reese McGuire will be in a timeshare behind the plate for the rest of the season. Jansen was a preseason darling but got off to a miserable start. He's been better recently, but this news is a reminder to still explore other catching options. Yasiel Puig began his three-game suspension on Monday against the Red Sox. You can expect him back Thursday versus the Yankees. All right, let's take a quick break to talk about Fantasy Draft, because the rake-free revolution is here, and it's available only on Fantasy Draft. Rake, commission, management fee, call it what you want. But the days of paying 10, 12, or even 15-plus percent of your entry fees to the house are over. Now you can play rake-free only on Fantasy Draft, where 100% of entry fees are paid to contest winners. That's right. Every single dollar paid in entry fees are paid to contest winners on Fantasy Draft. To access Fantasy Draft's exclusive rake-free contests, all you need to do is become a member. Fantasy Draft offers membership plans suitable to all levels of play, including the Free Players First plan that allows for $100 in rake-free entries per month. And for a limited time, Fantasy Draft is offering a free 7-day trial on your first $1,000 in rake-free entries with their starter plan. As other sites continue to raise rake, prize pools are being squeezed more and more, making it harder for players like you to win. Those days are over, though. No more do you have to lose up to 30% of your bankroll to rake. That money goes straight to the prize pools on Fantasy Draft. It's time to start playing your favorite contest rake-free on Fantasy Draft. Your bankroll is going to love it. Register at fantasydraft.com with promo code RADIO to receive a free 7-day trial on your first $1,000 in entry. Some more news from this segment. Jose Alvarado was activated off the injured list after missing a month with an oblique strain. He's been disappointing this year, totaling a 5.06 ERA entering Tuesday. However, he's a much better pitcher than that and could still factor into some save chances for Tampa Bay down the stretch. Yadier Molina returned to the lineup on Tuesday but went 0-4. Honestly, I might prefer starting the Will Smiths, Carson Kellys, and Francisco Mejias of the world over him right now. Again, it's crunch time, people. Craig Kimbrell felt fine after throwing a bullpen and could return this weekend if there are no setbacks. Juan Soto returned to the lineup on Tuesday versus the Reds. He wound up missing just one game with a mild ankle sprain. This is a different kind of topic, but I've mentioned before about streaming hitters in Coors Field. Well, this weekend the Marlins pay a visit to Coors, which doesn't do a lot for us. Sure, check out the lineups ahead of time and maybe you can use this Coors series as a tiebreaker for picking up a Marlin, but obviously they don't have a lot of exciting bats in that lineup. Maybe pick up Ryan McMahon of the Rockies, if he's available. And remember, moving forward, just monitor the Rocky schedule. Let's talk prospects quickly because I'm seeing a lot of love recently for Luis Robert of the White Sox and Gavin Lux of the Dodgers. Both guys have been tearing the cover off the ball in the minors this season, but I'm mentioning them because I don't expect either to be that useful in fantasy this year. And I don't want you guys potentially wasting a roster spot. Again, it's late in the season. I think it would be crazy for the White Sox to start the service clock on Robert right now, as opposed to waiting for 2020. The same logic can apply to Lux, though the Dodgers are actually contending right now, but they also don't really need Lux. Both should be studs in the long term, and I'll be hyping them each up a lot next spring. I just had to be honest here and let you guys know how I'm handling them. Alright, time for our other segment. This one is called, It's Summer, It's Hot, and These Guys Are Crazy Hot Right Now. Once again, I think I nailed it. We begin with Francisco Mejia, who went hitless on Monday night, but before that had strung together five straight multi-hit performances. This hot stretch by Mejia is noteworthy because it's the first time he has had real success at the major league level. The 23-year-old, who once had a 50-game hitting streak in the minors, has basically become the Padres' starting catcher, edging out Austin Edges. He's in a similar tier to guys like Kelly and Will Smith for me. Add him if you still need catching help. Yuli Gurriel, who I'm surprised to learn is 35 years old, has been going bonkers at the plate recently. The story behind his ascension has been a simple swing change, with former Astro Carlos Beltran advising him to open up his stance a bit more. You have to take these things with a grain of salt sometimes, but it's always nice to hear an actual reason behind a breakout. Entering Tuesday, since June 11th, so basically the past 2 months, Gurriel has hit .365 with 19 homers, 52 RBIs, and a 200 WRC+. That's insane. Treat him like a stud first baseman the rest of the way. Ozzie Albies moved up to the number 2 spot in the Braves lineup on July 24th and has been sizzling ever since. He had a few 4-hit games last week and has been a much improved hitter as a 22-year-old this year. Albies entered Tuesday batting .300 with 18 homers and 11 steals. This comes after he hit just .261 last year. The good news is his expected batting average on Baseball Savant backs this up, as it checks in at .288. That can be attributed to an increased barrel percentage by Albies this year. He had an aggressive ADP this spring, which led to some hesitation on the parts of many fantasy analysts. However, it looks like this is just a young hitter who has gotten better. Congrats to those who believed in him. The most surprising name on this list, though, is Gio Urshela. The 27-year-old Yankee third baseman is hitting .332 with a .963 OPS. Wait, what? Oh, sorry, wrong segment. Urshela dipped a bit in June, but his Statcast expected stats show the season-long breakout might be legit. He has been hot again lately and needs to be a fixture in your fantasy lineup. Lastly, Ian Happ, once a top prospect, didn't play in the majors this year until late July. But early on, it appears all that time in the minors has paid off a bit. Entering Tuesday, Happ was hitting .300 with 4 homers and an OPS over 1,000 in 16 games. The 25-year-old isn't guaranteed to be an everyday player, as Joe Maddon is constantly mixing up his lineup. But if you need offense right now, you might want to try and ride the hot streak. As for today, I'll be watching Cal Quantrill pitch against the Rays, and he is someone you might want to consider streaming. Over his last 5 appearances, the Padres pitcher, the 24-year-old, has registered a .093 ERA over 29 innings. Now, that comes with a .284 FIP and a .451 XFIP, but his start will come in spacious Petco Park, which mitigates a little of the risk. Quantrill isn't a big strikeout pitcher either, but I'm expecting good ratios in a potentially low-scoring affair. And that'll do it for the Wednesday morning edition of Leading Off. Not a ton of listener questions this time, but I'll try again on Thursday if you guys have any. As always, you can find me on Twitter, at TooMuchTuma. Reach out with fantasy questions, general baseball questions, life questions, whatever you need. And stay focused if your season is still going on. Come January, we would kill for these August dog days. Have a good one, everybody. I'll talk to you Friday.